And I'm so honored to be here. You have no idea. Most of you in the room really don't know me. You know, you might know me, but most of you don't really know me. And so for me to say the words to you today, like, it's an honor to be here. I'm like the least deserving to be preaching God's word for 16 years and planting a church and preaching to you today about Jesus. Like, I am the furthest that I would ever thought, like, no way, never me. And so I'm really honored to share with you what God has placed in my heart. Easter, for most pastors, if not every pastor that I know, this is like our Super Bowl, you know? Like, we get pumped up. And we text each other, like different pastors from around the state. Even our own community were texting me this morning, and I was texting them, man, you got this, kill it, bro, like, preach the word. I mean, that's what we're doing on Easter Sunday. Like, we're just so excited to preach God's word because we know so many people fill the seats that may not normally fill seats. And you know, if you're one of those people, if you didn't come last week and you're not coming back next, and so that's you probably, we love you. And I mean that wholeheartedly, but you know, it's true. There's just a lot of people who pack churches on Easter because it's a day we remember Christ and what he's done. And that is no shame, no condemnation at all. Quite like the opposite of that. We're so glad you're here. That's what I want you to know. And so glad that your husband came. Amen. You're like, get out. We're going. You know, that's what it's like in most homes. And maybe even my home, too, if I wasn't a pastor of a church. That probably would be me, too. It's the best day to tell you the good news of Jesus. And really, the good news of the gospel, today we kind of remember the story, and it's the day the good news became good news. And that's what I want to tell you about today. I'm here to tell you that the good news is still really good news. So if you're tired of bad news, everyone raise your hand. I have good news for you. Now, if you are not tired of bad news, then you just keep watching the news. And then eventually you might get tired of hearing bad news. But there is really good news. In a few moments, at the end of my sermon or talk or message, whatever you want to call it, I am going to extend to you an invitation. Man, I'm not going to try to trick you. I am absolutely going to extend to you an invitation without any hesitancy at all. That's why I have come today in a suit, and I have saved the brand new shoes for you. Because I just thought, if I'm going to make an invitation, I should look my best. I didn't say good, I just said my best. And give you this invitation that changed my life and changed so many others for the past like 2,000 years and still changing lives all around today. So I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you first to not worry about the clock. I typically preach about 4.5 hours, so if you're new with us, I'm sorry. Some of you are like, shoot, we picked that church, man. This is, dang it. No. They have a countdown, 34 minutes and counting. But don't worry about the, like, clock for just a minute, or the ham or the turkey or whatever you're making. And you're here, so let's just let God speak to our hearts. Like, consider the words that I say today. And I pray that the words that I say will not be my words. They will be God's words, somehow through me. In no way am I claiming to be something I'm not. No, I'm just a man. But I'm asking God to come to speak to you through the words that I say. So there's a phrase that he gave me. And I'm telling you, when you You become a person who preaches God's word week after week after week. Man, you lean in on sermon preparation. Normally, I plan about 6 months out of sermon series and calendars and preparation. I was calling my friends this week, telling them, guys, I don't have a sermon. And I'm freaking out because I hate not knowing what's happening next. Anybody like that at all? Some of the hippies in the room, like, I don't know how you do it. You just show up to vacation, and you're like, whatever happens, happens. I'm like, no. We will plan every minute of the trip. Anyone like me at all? Like, we are. Yeah. And all the hippies, you should say amen, because you wouldn't know what to do without us. You know? That's, my wife is the hippie. I am the planner. But so I tried to put today's sermon on paper, and I'm being honest with you, it just wouldn't fit in my little sermon box. Like, something in today's talk just wouldn't let me get on paper in a perfectly ordered fashion. And so I'm being honest, like, I'm a little freaking out here because I don't know how this is going to go. So give us a good Google review now, okay, in advance. Here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to change the way you think about Jesus. That's the title of today. Change the way you think about Jesus. And I'm not talking to you if it's like, man, just a person who never goes to church, maybe ever. This is your first time. We're so glad you're here. Like, maybe this is like, okay, I don't even have a perception of Jesus. Then change the way you're thinking about Jesus. This is the invitation. From all the way to some of you who are like, man, I've been serving Jesus my whole life. I'm inviting you too to change the way you think about Jesus. Change the way you think about Jesus. Notice I didn't say Christianity. I didn't say a religion, I just said a person. Just change the way you think about Jesus. That is what today is about for us in this room. I believe God has brought you here because he's inviting you to change the way you think about him. Do not get caught up in the religion of all of this. Oftentimes in my life, I find myself in conversations about Jesus, and one of the first things that I hear people say, and you probably have heard these statements in religious kind of conversations, is people will normally identify with a certain group of people as it relates to a discussion about Jesus. You'll hear it said like this in the world when you go out this week, or maybe around your circles or settings. You'll hear people say, I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic. I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Lutheran. Oh, I'm non-denominational, which is now become a denomination because you... I just want to talk to you today from the angle of, can we just set all those little groupings down and try to say these words? I'm a follower of Jesus. So like, so many times I know, I talk to people who will say I'm Catholic, and my biggest concern is you don't know why you're Catholic. My father was born in Cuba, and so on my dad's side, the family's Catholic. My mother is from down the country, Texas, you know? And in Duncanville, Texas, everybody's Baptist. So I didn't know what I was. My Catholic and my Baptist, I'm both. I don't know. Anybody can relate to stuff like that? Like, I don't know why I believe what I believe. I don't know why I claim to be a part of a set of group of people. And I don't even know what this group of people really believes. When the truth is, if you break all those barriers down, I'm not going to say all, but I will say most of those agree when it comes to the central thing that Christ died on a cross and rose from the dead. And then there's a lot of stuff they begin to disagree on. And I'm not saying those things that they don't disagree about aren't important or are important. I'm not here to debate that. I hear him to say, the invitation today is to become a follower of Jesus. So I want to invite you to change the way you think about not church. See? Like, Satan's so good, man. He's so good. He's trying to get you to think, I hate churches. I know some of you hate churches. I know. You were hurt by churches. But the truth is, you weren't hurt by churches. You're hurt by people. Right? Like, somebody just hurt you. Can I just say now, I know. I mean, I've been hurt in my life. Anyone never been hurt in your life at all? Like, no, you know. And I know. This has been said before, too, that there's a lot of hypocrites in church. Can I just say to you now, we're all hypocrites? How dare you judge me? Oh, yeah, I'm judging you. You are such a hypocrite. You tell your kids to eat healthy, but when they go to bed, you eat a pint of ice cream all by yourself. Come on. That's me. Some non-dairy Cherry Garcia. I mean, I'm telling you. Come on. You tell your kids to obey the rules, and you don't wear your seatbelt. Oh. No, I wear my seatbelt, but you text and drive. Oh, this... Hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? Listen to your authorities. You tell your kids this all the time. And then you tell your boss you're in the office when you're driving in the car on the way to vacation to watch a movie, listening in, working out while in that meeting, really focused. No, I want to work at home because I need flexibility. No, because you don't like responsibility. Come on. Hypocrites, right? Come on. We've all been hypocrites is what I'm saying to you. So can we just set down the whole thing that there's hypocrites in church? And can I just declare to you, there are hypocrites in this church? Woohoo! You came to the right church. Man. We don't always do what we say we should do. Like, we don't always follow through. Listen to me. Change the way you think about Jesus. The truth is, a person who follows Jesus understands what I just said is absolutely true. And that's why they follow Jesus. Like, I follow Jesus because I know what I just told you is true. No matter how hard I try to be like Jesus, I fail at that. Like, I cannot obtain righteousness on my own. Christianity at its core is an admittance I'm a hypocrite. I've tried not to be, but I keep doing things that I say I'll never do. In fact, I do things that I tell others not to do. When you become a follower of Jesus, it's like the full admittance of I am broken. And then there's freedom in saying that. Because then you can stand in front of a whole bunch of people and say, I'm broken. So don't expect me to be like perfect and the best representation of Jesus. No, I am a broken man who needs Jesus every single day. Change the way you think about Jesus. It's all about him. I want to show you a picture of Jesus. Now, this is the best picture of Jesus that I know of. And I know. It was like, whoa, one second. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture is where Jesus looks over to one of his friends and he says, who do you say I am? It was out of Matthew 16, and this friend named Peter was kind of inspired in the moment, doesn't fully understand who he is, but he makes the statement. He says, you're the Messiah. You're Christ. You're the Lord. And Jesus says, blessed are you, what you've spoken is true. What he's really saying is, like, you're God. You know, like, you're from heaven. You're the creator of the whole thing. So the question I wanted to ask you is, who do you say he is? Let's just have the conversation for the next 20 or so minutes. Who is he to you? And you don't have to shout out. I just want you to really think about for a minute, who is he to you? No, really, like, who is he? Let's just have the conversation. Who is he to you? Is he Catholic? Is that who he is? Is he a religion and of himself? Like, who is he to you? Historically, the picture you see happened. No one can refute the history of the moment that this occurred. Like, it happened. This man, Jesus, lived and was nailed and crucified on a cross like many other criminals in this time. So, who is he? Who do you say he is? For many people today, this story has become irrelevant. Be honest. Come on, just be honest with yourself today. Truth is, for many people, they don't even think about him most days. This is a story for some people called Christians. This is a story shared for people in certain churches. But not everybody believes this story, and that's okay. That's a lie. It's not okay. Because the story I'm about to unfold to you will help you understand why it's not okay if you don't know Christ. So who is Jesus to you? For many people, they'd say, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe that that happened too. Doesn't that save me? And my answer to you is, please, let me be honest with you and tell you, no. No. No, believing in the existence of what occurred in history, no, that does not save you. Even the enemy, Satan, and his demonic forces believe in the existence. So, no. So, who is Jesus to you? It's a question at least worth pondering for a minute. And if at the end of it you decide he's nobody to me, that is free will and choice. But my hope with you today is that you would choose to change your thinking about Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Why did he die? Like, why? Why did he die? And many people say, oh, just for sins. But internally, it might mean nothing to them. It's like one of the things I hear all the time. So why did he die? Well, for sins. Let me just help you understand why he died. A guy named Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. He said, but God demonstrates his own love. The reason that he died was a demonstration of his love. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves us. He loves you. Do you believe that he actually loves you? Like, when I say Jesus, do you think he's the one that loves me? Like, he loves me. And then all of a sudden, I know, you start thinking about all the maybe terrible things that have happened in your life, and you're wondering, how could this God love me and allow these things to happen in my life? Which right there tells me your theology is completely wrong. Because then all of a sudden, he gets the blame for the sin. He's not to blame for the sin. He took the sin. Gosh, he loves you. He's a demonstration of love. And it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So let me illustrate it to you this way. You ever been jealous in your life? Everyone in the room at some point could say, yeah, looked around, I'm a little jealous of that marriage, of that relationship, of that friend, that coworker. For some of us, jealousy is an issue. You ever coveted? I know, it's not language we normally use. Let me say it to you this way. You ever really desired something really, really bad, and were kind of mad that you didn't have it? Yeah. You ever had envy? I make jokes all the time about this, but it's true, because when you become an adult, you know you're really a parent and an adult when you look at people's grass and you get envious. Have you ever done that? Take a drive around the neighborhood trying to model someone else's garden, and then you get to Lowe's and Home Depot, and then you get home and you try to put it together and you're like, why didn't mine end up like theirs? How does he know me? Because I know I've done it. But you ever been envious? Jealous? Fits of rage? Like you try to control your temper, but you can't? You ever had hatred in your heart towards a person? Maybe they harmed you? Maybe because of the color of their skin or a way that they act? And you feel it's absolutely justified of your hate towards them. And so you do. You wish no goodwill towards them. You ever had bitterness surface in your life? Somebody harmed you, hurt you, and you thought, there's no way I should ever have to forgive that individual. Do you know what they did? And as a result, bitterness grows up inside. You ever told a lie? Ever once in your life told a lie? Deceived somebody, told them a little bit of the truth with a little bit of a lie? Even your own spouse, even your own children, all fall short of the glory or standard of God. When he goes to this statement, he's saying, all of us are kind of imprisoned to this, chained by this reality of sin, greed, idolatry. You know what idolatry is? Anytime you love anything or anyone more than God. You ever fall into that sin? I know what you're thinking. Man, he's really beating me up. No. I have good news for you today. Like, really good news. I'm just showing you that every single one of us falls short of the standard of perfection, the standard of holiness. Who in this room could stand and say, never you, to one of the things I just said? Can the real Slim, I'm just joking, stand up? Okay. Sorry. Keeping your attention, though, because I just quoted Eminem. You're like, oh, wow, I like this pastor guy. Yeah, it's cool. I just listened to him all the way to church. Amen. I'm talking to you then. Okay, so. Okay. Who can stand up? No, really, like, stand to your feet if you've never once sinned. Anyone? No, really, I'm serious. Anyone? Then you agree. You agree. You agree. With the text. You didn't know it, but then you agree with Scripture. At least there. I've sinned. I'm in handcuffs. The question comes, Is this our destiny forever? All humanity gripped by sin? I know, we've tried to escape sin, right? We have. Can we set laws and rules in place to rid us of sin? For many years, we tried to do this, right? Put amendments and rights and articles of all kinds of things to rid humanity and a nation of sin, yet the sin still lurks. So who can free us from the sin? Does it matter? Are we content with just this is it? Every human broken? Who can save us from this sin? We've tried to end racism since the beginning, but it doesn't stop. Do you really think one march will make the difference? It makes a difference, but it doesn't make the difference. It's true. Why? Because it's in the human heart. And if it's not racism a person battles, it's one of the other lists of sins and things that I just mentioned to you. Sexual immorality. You deciding what is pure and right. You deciding what is sexually moral. Which, from that context, if you decide what is sexually right and wrong, guess what very seat you have placed yourself in? The very throne of the Creator. Which then is self-idolatry. Selfish ambition. So, who can free us of this sin? That's the question we should wrestle with then. Who can come and save us from this sin? Anyone here? Anyone here? You know, it's me. I got us. Buddha? Can he break the chains of the sin upon humanity? How about Abraham? He was a good guy. Can he bring us out of this pit of sin? Moses? Name any Christian in history that you want, or current Christian or non-Christian, anyone. The answer's no. Chris, can you give me those tickets? I'm handcuffed, and I don't have a key. So I'm really hoping this illustration works. Yes. So I saw this, and I thought, man, I've really got to share this with you and hope that you get it. Any parents in the room, you've ever parented a child, would you raise your hand? Grandparents, aunts or uncles, cousins, brothers or sisters, raise your hand. Okay, really confused what you are if I... grandparent, uncle, aunt, stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother, half-sister, any of those resonate with you at all? Raise your hand. A human? Anybody humans? Okay. You ever been to an arcade? Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, don't clap for Chuck E. Cheese. But you've been to arcades, you know? Man, your kids go to an arcade, and you spend like $100, you get to the machine, you're wondering how much money are we gonna waste today? But you love your kids so much, so you put the $25 bill in, and they kind of craft you with some kind of like amount of tokens, you'll get extra. You decide to be a good parent, so you put the $20 in, the $50 in. Anyone ever spend $100 at an arcade? Would you raise your hand? See? And you were just like, man, trying to, you know, do the right thing, and somewhere in the middle of swiping that card or putting the coins in, you're like, can we just hurry this up? Where's the most expensive machine possible? Anyone have hand sanitizer? Hand sanitizer, you know? So you play the games and you try to hit the thing to get all the tickets, you know? And then your kid gets all the tickets. You've been here before, parents. Yep. You get all the tickets and it's time to go to the redemption counter where you redeem your tickets. Now, as a parent, as an adult, you have lived this before, so you know what's coming. But your kids' faces can't wait to grab the switch off the top shelf for 90,000 tickets, you know. Oh, we're going to get the big prize on the very top. But as a parent, you know, walking up to that counter, they're going to be sorely disappointed, man. So you maybe even ask somebody, hey, you're going to use those tickets? Yeah, you know? Or you feel bad for other parents, so you just give your tickets to someone else because you're like, let at least one kid get the prize, you know? Like, so you go to the counter to redeem your tickets, and your child looks up and he says, I want that one up there. And then you look at your son or daughter and you go, sorry, we don't have enough tickets for that. And then they go to the next shelf. It's so rude what they do to us. Like, start from the top, you know? And then it's like the next shelf, the next layer. What about that boomerang blaster thing, you know, whatever, I don't know. No, you don't have enough tickets for that either. And they get down to like the third shelf, and the prizes are getting a little smaller, and this time it's like a lava lamp, you know? It's cool. Sorry, we don't have enough tickets for that. And then your child looks at you and says, what can I get? Come on, raise your hand if you're with me right now. You're like, gosh, you are speaking my language. I know. And then you look in the glass. Oh, man. And you go, we can get the Tootsie Roll. Or the pencil right there. But it's cool because if you smell it, it's really cool. You want a pencil? Man, it's so true, right? Yes. Who in all of existence has enough tickets to bring us to holiness? Who has enough tickets to break the sin in all humanity? I have good news, ladies and gentlemen. There's a man named Jesus, and he has enough tickets to redeem your life. This is why he came. He comes to redeem the whole world. I love your golf clap, but this is good preaching. Can we celebrate the one who saved the whole world? Come on. I know. For some of you, I'm not clapping. I'm just going to keep doing the tickets because he demonstrated his love for you. Because he loves you so much that even when you think he's unimportant, he put himself on the cross. Even for those of you who think, I don't want anything to do with you, he died for you too. He died for you too. That's the best news in the world. Even for you, you never read your Bible, but he's fine. He still loves you. He still loves you. You don't ever hear about him. You don't care about him. You don't talk about him. You ain't been to church in 10 years, but he loves you still. He doesn't care. You don't have to clap. He still dies for you. He doesn't need your approval. He's after the approval of one. Only the Father in heaven can please him. Only that will bring him satisfaction. Has enough tickets to break the bondage of sin. You know what sin does? It brings death. Sin brings death. You know how you feel when you scroll and you begin to compare yourself? When did that ever help you feel better about you? When did that ever help comparing yourself to another human? It is sin. Why is it sin? Because it brings discontentment in how God made you. Don't you know there can only be one you? There can only be one you. And he made you perfectly. It brings death. Jealousy destroys relationship in our world. All around the world, people die every day because of greed. But he's come to redeem us. We don't have to live this way. We can have a new life in Christ. And our whole life can be transformed. Here, now, we don't have to wait until he comes to live like he's here. That's like the best news in the world. Scripture says very clearly, Andrews, if you would come up for just a moment. Scripture says very clearly to us, it's in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives in God." Verse 14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, you're under grace." I am so glad this came up. I was like nervous. I don't have the key. I was like, oh my gosh. I told you at the beginning, I want to invite you to change the way you think about Jesus. If you could go to the picture of Jesus one more time. No one that I know and have ever met refutes that picture. Maybe the person or how it looked exactly, or the color of his skin, or the length of his hair, or the shape of his beard, or the color of his eyes. Fine. But no one refutes what happened to him. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me out. Young and old. If Jesus died on that cross, and if that is the end of the story, we are wasting our time here today. I mean, he's a man who lived, he got nailed to a cross. If that's the end, if that's the finito, finish line, that's it, then like, who cares? Live how you want. Do what you want. Say what you want. Life is short. YOLO. I know. If that's the end, who is Jesus to you? Is he a man who just died on the cross? Who is he? Just wrestle with the question, who is he? Is he a man who just died on the cross? Or is he this man? And how you answer this one should change your whole life. Because the good news begins with this part of the story. John 20 records it this way. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." Verse 11 says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the other at the foot." Verse 13, they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her one word, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Documented in history, it was over 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. If Jesus died on the cross and that's the end of the story, then we're just talking about a man. But the good news is, he didn't stay on the cross. This man rose from the dead. So who do you say he is? If he's the man who died on the cross and that's where your story ends, I have good news for you. The story didn't end there. He rose from the dead. So anyone who predicts their own death and resurrection and pulls it off, Christians, pay attention to what he has to say. And maybe you should too. Do you believe he rose from the dead? Because that changes everything. Because if he rose from the dead, he has the power alone to overcome the grave so that you never die, but that have eternal life. So what do you say to that? Here's the invitation. What do you say? What do you say to that? What do you say to that? Is he God? Did he overcome the grave? Because if he did, why wouldn't you take his advice? Why wouldn't you listen in and try to be like him? Live like him, talk like him. Changes your whole life when you meet him. I'll wrap up with the final thought is this. There's a man in this room, friend of mine. I don't know if he's in the room, but his name is Donnie. Would you raise your hand, Donnie? You hate me right now. He is so introverted like me, but where are you? Is he here? I know he was here serving today. Is he here or no? He's in kids serving. Oh, that fits the story then. You don't have to go get him. So I was talking with Donnie yesterday at the egg hunt. Started coming to our church a few years ago, became friends a while back. And I used to spend time with their family, and I would just share the gospel at soccer practice. It's a fitting place to share the gospel. By the way, anywhere is good news, to always share good news. People need good news, amen. So I was just start sharing the gospel, and he's telling me this without knowing the sermon at all, nothing. He's like, we're sitting on the pavement outside, right here, outside these doors. And he's like, sitting there. He says, "Man, Ricky, it's crazy." What? He's like, "Man, since meeting Jesus, dude, my whole life has changed." He's like, "Man, but it's not like all at once, because God knew that I'd freak out if he did everything at once." These are his words, not mine. He says, "But like I'm noticing sudden, subtle changes about me. And I'm not doing the things that I used to do." And then he goes, and he was like shocked. He's like, "And every once in a while I'm like, huh, when did I stop doing that?" Like his whole life is changing. When you come to know Jesus, the resurrected Lord, the man who rose from the dead, your whole life changes. Like everything changes. All of a sudden, he becomes your God and like your master, and you speak differently and talk differently, and he'll start to pluck out certain sins, and all of a sudden greed becomes generosity, and hate becomes love, and like anxiety becomes peace, and depression becomes like fullness of joy everywhere. And I'm not saying everything is always perfect. No, because we're still in a fallen world. But even in the midst of that fallen world, you rise above it all because of Christ, knowing and having hope that Christ will set us free. That's the best news I could give you today. If you would, bow your heads. If today you want to give your life to Jesus, who do you say he is the question. The invitation from Jesus to you and to me today is, are you willing to change your thinking about me? Come to know me. Come and get to know me. Come and get to know me. Not the church. No, I want you to come to know me. Not what you've heard about me. I want you to know me. Not what you have heard. Some of you in the room, you've heard a lot about Jesus, but you don't know him. And the invitation is, come and know me. Come to know me. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you to me. And he's calling you by name right now. He's calling your name. Now, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of a new relationship with him. Maybe it's a start over. It's like, man, I'm just going to start this thing over again. I'm going to come back. It's the 50th time, but I'm coming back again and again and again today. Today, you just say, man, I want to come to know Christ. I don't know everything about him, but man, I want to come to know Jesus. And maybe today you're willing to take a step out of faith saying, I believe this man didn't stay on a cross. He rose from the dead. And if that's true, everything in my life is about to change. If today you want to come to know Christ, this is a bold move, I know. This is bold, it takes courage, I know. But if that's you today, he's calling you home. And I say, ma'am, sir, respectfully, child of God, daughter, son, if that's you, brother, sister, if that's you, today, you go, man, I'm stepping into a relationship with God today. I want to come to know my Creator today. I want to come to know this Jesus you've spoken about. Would you stand right where you are? Stay standing. Stay standing. It's not too late for some of you. You know, I should have stand. I missed my opportunity. No, you didn't. You can stand now. Stand to your feet. Make the decision for all eyes to see in a minute, for everyone to look around and notice who has come home to the Father. Scripture says that when one sinner repents and turns to him, he says that angels in heaven rejoice. Can I just tell the few of you that are standing that angels in heaven are rejoicing over your decision right now? Anyone else want to stand for Christ that says, man, I want to give my life to Jesus? Amen. When we prayed, I can't see everybody standing. It looks like there's a few standing in the room. But I asked God to do this. I said, God, here's what I care about. I told him, I don't care how many people. I want the few that are standing. And if you need to stand, don't wait. If you know it's you, stand. Don't be ashamed of the cross. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that came to set me free. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I prayed, and I want you to know, I told the Lord, I told him in my private time, and none of you know me, none of you said, but I told Jesus this. I said, Jesus, please, I don't care how many show up this year. I could care less how big or how many people show up. Would you just bring someone home? I don't care if it's one, I don't care if it's two, whatever you want, just bring someone home. And so I want you to know today that everything that has been done for you. And he loves you. Follow him the rest of your life. He's a good God, and he has a great plan for your life. Can we celebrate those who made decisions in the room today? Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So good. So good. Okay. I've got 3.5 more hours to go. I told you 4 hours. We're going to have an altar team down front. If you would come down front, we have people ready to pray with you and stand with you about whatever you're going through. Don't jump up just yet. We're going to dismiss in a second. We have people up here. I know you're battling something, sickness, marriage, kids. There's just all kinds of things in your life. And you're going to be really nervous in a minute to, oh, I feel like I should go get prayed with or just tell somebody to pray with me. And you're going to be so tempted to just like zoom out of here. Come on, don't do that. We just want to pray with you. That's it. Lock arms. Pray with you. And send you on your way. If you need prayer today, we're down front. We want to pray with you about whatever it is you're facing, going through at all. We want to celebrate something. We want to pray with you. Amen. Next Sunday, we'll be back at 10 a.m. We'd love to have you come back. We're here every Sunday worshiping the same God every single Sunday. We love to celebrate and gather with him and our groups around the community. And so we're just so pumped that you are here with us today. And I pray, too, that you would go and share this good news with somebody. Not just to invite them to a church. No, let's bring glory to him. Amen. Let's like go bring glory to Jesus and the story of Jesus. I'm sweating. That means my time has come to an end. When I say this with all honesty, at Brave, we love you. We are not perfect. We're not a perfect church. We stopped being perfect the day I launched it. So, yeah, that was a kind of a joke, but not really. So, we're so glad you're here. We hope you come back. We've been in a series in the book of Romans. We're going to continue through the book of Romans. If you've ever opened the book of Romans and like, what the heck am I reading? Come back. And like, we're going to keep diving in scripture and learning more about this God that I just told you all about. Amen. Amen. Hey, we'd love for you to get prayed with down front. We normally dismiss this way. Do we have the blessing? Do you have it? Yeah. So we're going to read this together. You can just stay seated. But we're going to read this together out loud. We love to recite this blessing as we're dismissed. We'd love to have you back. All the action item steps. Oh, next Sunday, we're doing baptism. So if you want to get baptized next Sunday, we would love for you to come celebrate. We've got many getting baptized. We'd love to be a part of that. It's going to be a great Sunday next week. We're happy to have you back. If you want to get baptized, there's a card in your envelope that says Brave Steps. Fill that out. Just write down baptism, and then we'll make sure you get baptized. You can hand it to one of our team members in the back or drop it in the give bins on the way out, and we'll get in contact with you and help you get baptized and kind of walk you through the whole process. All right, let's all say it together. Are you ready? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless. Jesus. Yeah. Hey.